Welcome, everybody, to the R&R CatCast, a fan-based podcast focusing on Montana State athletics. We're two dudes named Ryan from the state of Washington talking about our dear Montana State. We hope you enjoy. All right, welcome back, Bobcat fans. Thanks for joining us on another episode of the R&R CatCast. I'm one of your hosts, Ryan Foley. He's your host, Ryan Thornburg. We are the Ryans of the R&R, the Montana State affiliate of the Big Sky Podcast Network. And we have a dang sponsor in Gear Up Sports, a youth sports platform focused on solving uniform and apparel headaches for coaches. If you're a youth or high school coach and need uniforms or player packs, please contact them at www.gearupwithus.com and make sure to mention the R&R CatCast. And I'm going to throw in there right now, on our Twitters, on our socials, we have an R&R CatCast swag store. You can buy R&R CatCast gear. I myself ordered a R&R CatCast hoodie. I can't wait for it to come in the mail. I'm looking forward to that. Gear Up Sports.
It's pinned at the top of the Twitter page.
Yes.
Pinned. Put a pin in that. Zach Minter, Bethany Cordell. Gonna put a pin in that at the top of the Twitter page. I am not doing great, man. I had a terrible sports weekend. In a matter of 4 days, the Orioles went from like, yay, to, oh, we suck real bad. But that's okay. That's okay. And then the Rams lost too. So, and then no Bobcat football, which is better than a loss, but not ideal. Well, I finally get my hopes up for baseball once. It's been a long time as an Orioles fan. It doesn't happen very often. And they completely have the rug pulled out from under them and lose by an average of like 7 runs a game or something. I don't know.
Yeah, you get swept.
Got swept by a admittedly hot team, but man, didn't put up much of a fight.
No. I was thinking about you when I saw that score tonight. I was like, oh, Orioles. I'm doing so hot.
I knew it was over on Sunday after I saw how that game went. I was watching part of that. I'm like, this series is over.
Gosh. That's how it feels like to be a Cincinnati fan your whole life. So, yeah, I get it, dude.
How was your weekend?
It was a little bit boring. No Montana State football. I hate the bye week, man. I mean, I like it because it's like a little bit of a breather. But honestly, by Wednesday of the bye week, I'm like, oh, man, I wish we had a game coming up. And then we got to watch 3 games last weekend. Kind of boring. So, yeah, I don't know. Hey, the Bengals look good.
There you go.
Yeah, the Bengals got back on track. Joe Burrow righted himself, had a nice game. Ja'Marr Chase went off. So I think the Bengals got back their Bengals self. So pretty stoked for that.
There you go. See, you had a better weekend. Good. As long as one of us does, you make for a happy R&R podcast.
Right on, dude. Okay, so this episode, we're going to talk about the conference. So Thorny and I went back preseason. We always do our prognostications. What's going to happen in the Big Sky? We're going to run down those. What's happening so far? Were we right? Were we wrong? What do we think about that? So we'll just riff on every team. We're going to go through that. And then we're going to talk about a little bit about Cal Poly and get into some Golden Cooley questions.
Sounds great, man.
All right, let's do it. But first, we're going to start what's in our Golden Cooley.
What's in your Golden Cooley?
What's in your Golden Cooley is brought to you by Wilbur Ellis. Go see them for all your farming and fertilizer needs in the Golden Triangle. They are based out of Fort and Benton, I believe. So go find Shea Richter. He will hook you up. Foley, I got a Bozone Amber, my friend.
Whoa.
Nothing needs to be said.
No, you don't. How did you get that?
I still have one. It's probably getting a little ripe at this point, but I still have a couple.
That's restraint. That's just solid restraint. You didn't crack those after like Bobcat victories?
No, I mean, I should have some sort of beer that I reserve for that, but I don't know. Just haven't been drinking it. I've been enjoying some other beers in the stash. My Montana stash is still going.
Classic like guy who just opens up the fridge and what's ever closest to your hand, you just grab.
No. I take a look at my stock and just determine what sounds good in that split second moment. Like, ooh, a Scotch ale, bam, down the hatch,
down the gullet. All right, Well, good for you, dude. Thinking of Fort Benton, have you ever been to Fort Benton Fun Days?
I have not, no.
Oh, man. I'm just going to say, one of the best times in the summer, Fort Benton Fun Days. Woo! Street dance at night. Man, had a couple good ones there. All right. Nice. Let's see here. I have the Mere Pond Pale Ale. One of my favorite beers of all time. Bring me back to the R&R. Not the R&R. What's the bar on Main Street?
The Rock&R?
The Rock&R. Mere Pond was one of the first beers, like craft beers, that was on when we were going to school in the early 2000s. And I found it at Rose Hours this week. I was like, man, I hadn't seen that in a while. Deschutes Brewery. You and I spent some time at Deschutes Brewery when we were in Portland last year for the Beaver game.
Was it Deschutes? So,
yeah, it was Deschutes.
Huh. Anyway.
Wasn't it?
I don't know. It was some brewery, big brewery over there. I don't remember it being Deschutes. Maybe it was. It probably was. Anyway.
Yeah, it's probably Deschutes. Anyways. Yeah. Brought the six back home and I went out and did some yard work and I came back and my wife had cracked one. She's like, I didn't think I wanted a beer today, but I saw Mere Pond and she was like, man, that just was calling my name. And I was like, yeah, let's go. So here we are.
No, it's all a choice. Pale ale.
Woo. All right, man.
Hey, okay. Speaking of which, good time to pump this a little bit too, since we're pumping things today. You can always buy Golden Coolies from us. It's very easy to win one. But if you always want to support the show, you can find us on Ko-fi. Is it Ko/fee? Like, I don't remember. I don't. Obviously, we're so good at
Ko-fee.
Ko-fee. What did I say? Ko-fee, which is fi.com/rrcast. You can always purchase some coolies there. Help support the show. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Man. It's not. That's why I got out of the sales game, man. This is how I would sound on a sales call. And that's why I was not good at it. I don't like selling things.
At least like in our socials, like there's probably a link in our like Twitter yeah, account or something.
It's everywhere. It's everywhere. Man, that was bad. Anyway, press on. What's next on the agenda?
Well, we typically talk about the presser and news that came out. Well, there was no news for the bye week. We'll get into all the conference stuff
here. Wait, there was some news.
There was?
Tommy Mellott may play.
Well, I was going to get into that. I was going to talk injuries, but okay, we'll just...
Well, it came out of the press conference. Sorry. You made it sound like there was no news at all. And I was like, this is what...
Well, he's slated as an or.
Yes. Well, that's so, news. It's news. He's back on the depth chart.
Yeah. Coach Vegan said he's made progress, but I love what Coach Vegan called him, a physical specimen. Tommy Mellott, when playing, is a physical specimen. And he's not up to the physicality right now because he's been kind of bummed. You know, so he's bummed. He's been bummed emotionally. You guys send Tommy Mellott a lot of hugs.
Just moping around.
Yeah, just moping around. But no, yeah, he's got to get up to his, he's got to train a little bit. Get up to his physical peakness, as Coach Vegan would call it. So, here, buy or sell, Thorny. Tommy Mellott, 10 plays.
Buy.
I'm going to sell. I don't think we see Tommy.
No, I mean, you're probably right, but I feel like if Tommy is fully ready to go and cleared by the doctors, I think he kind of has to play almost.
Like, yeah. I just don't see the need to press it quite yet. Yeah. I don't know, there's a thread on Bobcat Nation. Should we play Tommy?
I don't think there's a real
camp of like, no.
Yeah. There's a real there's not a real clear, obvious choice here. But I don't know. I just got a feeling Vegan would play him if he's fully ready to go. Maybe
do
not
you
much.
Think Vegan like is married to Tommy Mellott in some weird way. Like, does he play Tommy Mellott against better judgment?
That's a good question. That probably deserves a whole episode. I don't know if it's Vegan or if it's Houseright or both of them. I mean, that infatuation is warranted if that's what it is. But I don't know. It's a good question.
Oh, well, that's a good question.
Chambers is kind of Vegan's guy because he recruited him, or not recruited him, but he coached him at Wyoming. And then obviously that connection worked well enough that Chambers followed him to Montana State. So you'd think if Vegan had that for anybody, it would be Chambers.
Man, I was so wrong on Chambers. And we talked about this on the pod before, but when he first came, when we first got that news, I was like, seriously, come on. Like, why are we muddying the waters with Chambers right now? I was so wrong.
Yeah.
So wrong.
And yeah, I don't know how, I certainly didn't think it'd turn into this. I didn't hate it, but I was like, what is he going to do here? He's not going to start. So it just made no sense to me that he would come here and be like a career backup. And that's not at all what transpired. So glad that guy's a Bobcat.
Yeah. I love talking to him this summer. He said the exact same thing. Loves being Bobcat. All right. Some other news. Let's see. Scottrie Humphrey, not surgical. Could be back in a couple weeks. Same with Jacob Trimble. Jacob Trimble is not surgical as well. Which puts Jacob Trimble out. Guess who's number one on the depth chart? Our boy.
The Cal Poly Shredder.
Marquee. Let's go. Let's see. Yeah, exactly. The Cal Poly Shredder. Marquee, the Cal Poly Shredder Johnson. I love it.
It's a lot. It's a big nickname.
Coach Vegan talked about him at length. He's like, you know, we got to get him some more touches. However that looks, he said he's not a running back. He's not a wide receiver. What he is a fantastic playmaker. He needs to get the ball.
Thank you, Brent Vegan. Thank you.
He also said Taco Dollar is moving along nicely. Could be right around the corner. That's something we hadn't expected. Ken Dollar is going to be out. Probably surgical. Not going to come back. And JT Reed still kind of in the air. Haven't heard any news on them. Coach Vegan didn't say anything about that. He did say, in general, we are better than we are. We're in August. And that's pretty predictable for Brent Vegan teams. We tend to be better down the road. We're going to hopefully hit our stretch because we have a tough slate of games coming up.
So when he said we're better, he means we're a better football team or we're better on the injury front?
We're a better football team.
Okay.
So all around.
Good to hear.
And last thing to report, Coach Vegan was wearing a blue shirt with a blue tie. Same stinking color, blue on blue. I hadn't seen that look from him before. Very sharp.
Yeah, thank you for the fully vegan dress watch, like what he's wearing. Got to keep us updated. Yeah. It's a very important discussion that people need to know. For those who didn't see it, you know, you're painting a picture of Brent Vegan sitting up there, stuffed into a suit in front of that backdrop. The little bobcat heads all over it.
Nice gelled hair. He's got that, and he's got that look. Blue shirt, blue tie. Although you looked, I had to scroll in real closely. The blue tie had a pattern on it, but exactly the same slate color as that blue shirt of his.
What do you mean you zoomed in? You like, you know, took a screenshot
took your
fingers on your...
took the.
Yeah, you actually blew it up. Like, what's going on here? And like, zoomed in on Brent Vegan's outfit.
You know I did. You know that's right.
Oh, fully. I love it. Yep, I love it.
That's what I do.
All right. Let's move on from Brent Vegan's attire.
Yeah. The R&R.
Yeah. important stuff. All right. Let's move on, shall we?
Okay. Yes, we shall.
I tend to try and steer us away from the attire discussions when they come up.
Yeah, you know I love them.
I do.
Okay. So, Thorny, paint the picture. What are we going to do here with these football standings? What do you want to do?
So, what I was envisioning that we do, go through top to bottom in the Big Sky Conference as it currently stands and talk briefly about each school, what we predicted they'd be up to this point. We don't need to say the records. We could say, oh, they're better than I predicted or they're worse necessarily. And maybe just kind of talk about how your opinion has changed before, you know, this in the preseason when we did our entire pick every single game for every single team and predict the order of finish to see how right or wrong we were and kind of just how the narrative's changed. I think it'd be kind of fun.
Okay. It's going to be a conversation.
It could be a conversation. So we're going to have to keep it snappy.
Okay.
I imagine there'll be more discussion on the top, you know, top five or six, and once we get down to the usual bottom feeding suspects, there doesn't need to be much to be said because a lot of those are right where you thought they'd be.
All right. So to be clear, this is like mid-season, right?
Mid-season.
Okay.
It's a good bye week exercise.
Oh, and that's another thing Coach Vegan said. He likes bye week at six. He said that works better for our team. We had a week nine the last 2 years.
Well, known fact. I suppose if you want to like have the momentum start really rolling, you don't really want to kill it late season. So that could be maybe what he's thinking when he says something like that.
All right. Start at the top. So if this is all coming from the Big Sky Conference website. So Idaho is at the top. They're 3-0 in conference, 5-1 overall. Win streak of three. Thorny, what do you think about the Vandals right now?
They are better than I thought they were going to be. I had reservations about Jason Eck. Was that a flash in the pan? I know they had some real solid players. They probably have some of the best star power in the league. They might have the most electric quarterback. They have one of the best running backs, and they have probably the best wide receiver in Hayden Hatton. And they really put it together, man. They had two FBS games. I didn't think they would take either one of them, but they took down, Nevada?
Nevada is really bad.
They are really
bad. Let's
be
honest.
They're really bad, but, you know, we've played some bad FBS teams in the past. Like, FBS games are hard. Maybe not as bad as Nevada, but...
Yeah.
I predicted them losing to Nevada, to Cal, and this was one of my toss-up games. I had them losing to Eastern Washington, and that was a close game, and you wonder how that would have gone if Kiko Vesperis would have played for Eastern. He was completely out for the entire game. But, yeah, Idaho's really impressed me, and I think that bolts them right to the top of the hardest game left for the Bobcats.
No, absolutely. Which I have tickets for, and I signed up for the MSU tailgate, my whole family.
Nice, I didn't know that.
Taking the full lease. Yeah, we got tailgate tickets for the Alumni Foundation. Yeah. And yeah, we're doing it up. We're full on Bobcat. So we're going there. I was looking through my predictions. I had them losing again at Weber State. The second last game. Weber State's terrible. We're going to get to Weber State. I'm going to withhold my thoughts on Weber State, but I was just laughing at that because I was like, oh, man, totally did not see that one coming. But they, to me, they're a little bit better. They're as advertised. I didn't see them being as strong in the running back room. I don't think they're as strong on defense as Montana State. So if we were like comparing head to head Bobcats versus Vandals, I think Montana State has the edge in defense, but Idaho has the edge in offense. Although if you look at the Big Sky standings, like Montana State's always like number one in total and scoring. I just think these guys, if they need a point, if they need a touchdown, they can get it. Giovanni McCoy can orchestrate that and Jason Eck can call it.
Idaho is a team that can come back from a 14-point deficit.
Yeah.
Montana State.
In 5 minutes.
Yeah.
In five.
Not minutes. How we're built. Idaho can score in a hurry if they want to. There's one of those teams that can just kind of turn it on when they need to.
In essence, they're like a better version of Eastern Washington.
Kind
of, Eastern Washington is kind of like the same brand of football, those guys.
Yeah, I could see that.
Okay.
All right. All right, who's number two in the Big Sky standings? Montana State.
No, that's us.
That's us. I had us exactly where we are. I picked us losing to South Dakota State, and obviously the rest of, I mean, it was a pretty easy pick 'em at this point for the Bobcats. The only one you could have, changed your mind on, gone either way on would be South Dakota State. But Utah Tech, Stetson, Weber, I guess maybe you could have picked a hard one in Portland State. I just going 5-1 at this point, and here we are, 4-1. Excuse me.
So I have us losing to Idaho.
I have us winning.
Yeah,
I don't have us losing any other game the entire year. That's how I picked.
Obviously, we picked that early season, like in August. Mm-hmm. Do I feel the same? I still kind of do. I think Montana State's gonna lose one game out of their remaining conference schedules. I think it's at Idaho.
It seems unlikely that we'll sweep all through that road stretch. Sac, Idaho, the Grizz, I don't know. And all of a sudden, Northern Arizona is looking like a tougher game than it might have a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
That's Eastern at home.
Washington at home.
Yeah, Eastern at home. So, I mean, it's a tough schedule. There's now all of a sudden looking at it, Cal Poly is the only gimme at this point.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you have Sac is what number 5, Idaho is number 3, and the Grizz somehow are number 10. So theoretically we have 3 top 10 teams left on the schedule, all on the road.
So Montana's 10 in the coaches poll.
Coaches poll. Okay. What are they in the stats?
I think 16.
Okay, that's better. So either way, we got 3 top 25 teams on the schedule. And any of you might squeak in there.
Depending, I think Eastern's better than Montana too. Like, they're not ranked, but I think as a team, they're better than Montana.
Yeah. I mean, that's who knows? Who knows? We'll get to the Grizz a little bit later on. So there's the Cats. Who's third? I got to keep like going back and forth. Oh, the Grizz. The Grizz are sitting third on this bad boy. That's pretty funny. The Grizz are third because they're 2-1 and 5-1 over the other team that is 2-1 in the conference, Northern Arizona, who beat them. But they're only 2-4 overall. So the Grizz are sitting there at number 3 based on that. And I had the Grizz going like 9-2 because their schedule, when it was released, looked pretty easy. Butler, Utah Tech, Ferris, NAU, Idaho State was their first 5 games. I thought they were going undefeated. And then they went to UC Davis, which I had them winning. And then their first loss of the season, I have them at Idaho, which is next week, which will be a very entertaining game, I think. And it's the late game, I believe, so it'll be a game I think everyone's watching. The Grizz had such a favorable-looking schedule, though, I had them going 9-2. And it's not because I thought the Grizz were better than they were last year. I just looked at the schedule. I'm like, who's going to beat the Grizz?
That's a good point. I had them losing Davis, and Davis has kind of turned into a paper tiger for me. And I think the Grizz could be kind of that paper tiger mentality. I don't know if it's a mentality, but just a description of the team. I do have them losing at Idaho and a loss against us at home. Although, I don't know, I spend more time thinking about the Cat Grizz. I could see a scenario where they pull an upset against Montana State. At the end, I'm not going to predict
that.
Let's
not even speak that into this podcast. It's not even
hypothetical. You know, you go on like a good 5-mile run and you start thinking about stuff down the road for the Cats. You go through these predictions. You're like, okay, well,
very common get that thing.
Grizz magic at home, whatnot. But yeah. Which, to be honest, little sidebar, Coach Vegan doesn't seem to follow my narratives in what my brain does. He's actually more very consistent on how it should play out versus like how it did with Rob Ash or Jeff Choate. So I appreciate Coach Vegan for that. Back to the Grizzlies. Here's where I was thinking about this today, a little bit about the Grizz. And like, if you listen to right now, this week, the Grizz beating the Davis team, and you're starting to listen to media talk about Big Sky, well, you know what? You're going to get a lot of Grizz stories. Like, oh, man. Like, they caught something. Clifton McDowell, you know, their passing offense, Aaron Fonts, all these guys, these big-time players that they have scored. And you're right. But here's where the Grizz are going to struggle, Thorny, because we all know this. Comes back to this, and nobody's talking about this. You win and lose games on your fronts. Montana's front, their offensive line, and their defensive line, they just don't have it. They're okay. Their defensive line doesn't have the depth. Alex Gubner, really good player, no doubt. He gets hurt. He gets worn out throughout the season. Whatever happens to him, simply don't have the depth behind it. And the offensive line is very categorized. It's not a good offensive line. Like they said, it was going to be like their strength throughout the season. What happened to NAU? They gave up. From a fan's perspective, they can't run the ball. They're hoping to pass the ball right now. I just don't see them winning in the trenches, and we know that's what it takes later on in the season.
I think once they've settled on Clifton McDowell, that will help them in the short term. But now teams can key in on stopping Clifton McDowell. The Grizz have ran the ball more. Get this. The Grizz have ran the ball more than any team in the conference. But they sit fifth in yards per game. They're averaging a measly 3.7 yards a carry. They've ran the ball more than the Bobcats have. I mean, they have an extra game. But
really?
We are more than doubling them up on yards per carry. We're averaging 7.6 yards per carry. They're at 3.7. We get twice as many yards per carry as the Grizz do.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you think Davis was going to come out thinking Clifton McDowell is going to toss it around 30 sometimes?
And that's what I'm saying. Like, that was part of the element of surprise. Clifton McDowell came out. They weren't prepared for that. And UC Davis didn't have their stud running back either, which helped the Grizz. But honestly, it's like if the Grizz settled into an offensive identity, I'm not sure that's good for them.
Yeah. Well, if they keep it close against Idaho State, then we have a little bit more to worry about. If they actually beat Idaho State, then okay.
Idaho.
Or yeah, excuse me, Idaho.
Dude, don't do that. Don't do that.
Then we're having a different conversation. I don't predict Idaho's going to lose that game, but if they do, okay, well, here we go again. You know, kind of deal.
Okay, I'll say one more last thing about the Grizz, and we're going to move on. And it's the Idaho game. I think the Grizz can hang in this game. They have a pretty good running defense, good enough. If they can slow down Idaho's rush defense and force them to throw it, they have a lot of interceptions, and if they can slow the game down offensively, as in like eat up time possession and have like sustained long drives, I think the Grizz can have a shot in this game. Clifton McDowell seems like the guy who's going to not necessarily throw bombs, but he'll scramble for 5 or 6 yards when you need him to and keep drives alive. He reminds me kind of a Matt McKay.
You told me that, and it kind of, I was like, huh.
He's a little too cool in the pocket. He stands there just flat-footed. Maybe he goes to his reads a little bit better, but he throws these just kind of floaters that are just begging to be picked off. And he'll run. He doesn't look to run. He's a good enough runner when he does. I don't know. He reminds me a little bit of McKay. And I feel like he's going to get sacked for a strip sack soon. He comes very close to it because he's too cool in the pocket. He's too cool.
Against a better defensive line, the Grizzlies are going to struggle.
Yeah, I think McDowell's going to get eaten up by a good line. Okay, moving on. Northern Arizona, man. Woo! Whoa!
What?
I thought NAU was going to be terrible this year. Although I did have them beating North Dakota because that was my flyer. I'm like, NAU seems to have one crazy, weird out-of-conference win per year, and that's what I picked. But they did not win that. So they started off 1-2, and then all of a sudden beat the Grizz. And Flagstaff took Sac State down to the wire on the road and then went to Ogden and just smacked around Weber State, who is in a complete free fall. We will get to them. But all of a sudden, man, NAU 2-1 in conference. When's the last time that happened?
They kind of caught lightning in a bottle with their freshman quarterback, and it's given Chris Ball. He's kind of like a cat. He's got 9 lives over there in Northern Arizona.
Yeah, that kid might like save his job. Seven.
Yeah. I don't know what to think about these guys. You know, like I said, they kind of have that lightning in a bottle feel right now. And a little bit like when they took Sac State to the wire and then they just hung it on Weber, you're like, okay, there's a little bit there. There's some juice there. Yeah. I really like this game coming up against Portland State because in my power rankings, I have NAU and Portland State right next to each other. I think those two, that's going to be a sneaky good game. Really like that game. So we get these guys at home. When's the last time we played Northern Arizona at home?
Oh, man, that does feel like it's been a while.
Like 2018 or something like that. It was probably like last year.
I was just going to say it's probably super recent. It starts to blur together.
I'm glad
together.
We get them at home, though, right?
The older
we
get.
Played them in last year. That epic game where Tommy Mollett hooked up with Taco Dowler, right? Unforgettable play. But NAU, I don't know, like bubble team maybe later on.
Yeah,
I don't think they. I don't know. They have they have a better defense than I thought they would, and this new quarterback they have, this freshman, given some life because Utah Tech hung it on them. Utah Tech gave them all that they wanted. What was it? 36 to 50?
Yeah, it was like 56 lost? To 30 something. Yeah, they lost by like 20, giving up 56 points. And then turn around and smoke the Grizz, who smoked Utah Tech. The sport makes no sense. Yeah. That's why the transitive properties are stupid. Never judge anything based on that.
Yeah. So
example A. But if you look at the rest of their schedule, they got, you know, 5 games left. All but one of those is winnable. Portland State at home, they can win that game. UC Davis is at home. That's looking winnable right now.
Yep.
They go to Bozeman. That's probably going to be a loss. Then they got Northern Colorado at home. And then the last game, if it's coming down to it, they go to Eastern and win that game. Where are they sitting right now? They are overall
2-4.
2-4. So if they finish, that would finish 6-5.
7-4, 6-5. Yeah.
Yeah, 6-5 is probably not going to do it. They're going to have to win out, probably.
They're the UC Davis of last year.
Yeah. I mean, that would be winning a lot of games in a row at the end. But that's, yeah, they're probably going to suffer the same fate if that happens, unless they can beat the Cats.
Weird things happen against Northern Arizona, too. It's a weird
in
team.
In Flagstaff.
Yeah.
Get them out of their little fancy 10,000 foot high in the sky dome.
Playing on top of Mount Everest over there. Jeez Louise.
All right.
Yeah. Chris Ball on his 7th life over at Northern Arizona.
Sac State 9. Somehow 4-1, but only now 5th in the standings because they're only 1-1 in the conference. So a lot of teams have only played 2 conference games. So we got this next 4 teams all stuck at 1-1 in conference. But they've all played 5 games total, and that's varying success. We go all the way from 4-1, 2-3, 2-3 to 1-4, but they're all right there in the same standings in the Big Sky at 1-1, starting with Sac State, who honestly I think is also looking better than I kind of thought that they would be. Although I actually had them finishing 6-5, and they're kind of on pace to do that, I suppose. I had them losing to Idaho. And then losing to Stanford, which a big upset. I mean, maybe not a real big upset, but an upset. That's a Power 5 win. That's a good notch under the belt. But then I had them losing down the line to Montana State. I had them losing to the Grizz, and I had them losing to Davis. So I had them finishing 6-5 overall. But now that they got Stanford win under the belt, you know, they're looking good. Looking good at 5-1. 4-1.
They're not looking as good as I thought they would look, though. I don't think the defense is holding a candle to where I thought they would, given the fact that Andy Thompson is their head coach. I thought they'd be better on defense. The 2-quarterback system is not there this year. I thought the 2-quarterback system worked better for them than what I'm currently seeing. I think Sac State is good. A little bit overrated right now.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd put them at the 5th best team in the country.
But what does that show? That says like properly rated, overrated, underrated, slightly overrated.
Slightly, right, not like significantly.
No, no, they're still a good team. Mm-hmm. But like, if Montana State, Idaho is tier 1, Sac State's not in that same tier.
No, I don't think so. And as found out, as Sac State losing at Idaho, although that's a pretty close game. Maybe if Idaho goes to Sac State like this weekend, maybe Sac takes that one. So maybe it's not, I don't know. Sac State's right there, I think. But they're not quite in that same tier, I don't think. They got a game against Northern Colorado. Ugh, okay. So they're going to keep their winning ways. That's going to be a big game, man, when we travel to Sacramento. It's going to be a real tough game, too.
Thorny, is it Stingers up, Stingers down, Stingers halfway?
Semi-stinger. I'll just leave it at semi-stinger. That's probably where they are.
I think Sac State has it in them to compete for a Big Sky championship this year. But I don't think they have the same juice as they've had under Troy Taylor. So they have Montana State coming up. that's the big game. Like us, we're going to talk about that coming up in 2 weeks. I'm already looking past Cal Poly, right? Well, they got Northern Colorado, Montana State, Idaho State. They go to Montana, which I think the Grizz are going to be like, that's their game. Besides the Cat Grizz, they've been circling Sac State because, right? And then they have Cal Poly, which they should win. And then they have the Cosmic Classic against UC Davis. So they're going to have some pile up some wins for sure. But they're going to be like their 7-4 somewhere in there.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're still in the fight for seed, and I think they can attain it.
Yeah. So, but they're not going undefeated.
No, they're not going to win out for sure. Okay. Who's next in this 1-1 log jam? Unless there's anything else you want to say about Stingers.
Semi-stinger
kind of life. Who's next? Man, I'm having some navigation problems over here.
Eastern Washington.
Okay, thank you.
1-1. 2-3 overall. 1-1 in conference. Click on Eastern Washington. So, Eastern. I start off against North Dakota State. Lost 10-35. I watched that game. It looked okay for a while. But then we were all thinking North Dakota State's going to be North Dakota State. And, you know, lost 10-35. Kind of feels like that. They won against Fresno State.
They lost in like Fresno overtime State, or double overtime, one of the two.
Yeah, double overtime, 31-34. And that raised my eyebrows a little bit. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, maybe they have a little juice offensively. Southeastern Louisiana, watched that game. I thought those two teams were fairly well matched. The score doesn't indicate it because they got some late scores there, 40-29. And then they beat Davis at Davis, 27-24. And then they lost to Idaho, 36-44. I predicted that they were going to beat Idaho. That was a loss on the Vandals that I had penciled in. Eastern looks better than I thought they would be.
Yeah, I mean, if you go and look at, Southeast Louisiana was a ranked team at the start of the year. They're sitting at 0-6 now. They haven't won a single game. So that win that they thought that looked good, it's no longer a good win. That's what's weird about this, man. You can say like, oh, yeah, the Eagles had a ranked win. Yeah. It doesn't matter. It's more important where a team finishes when you beat them. Like Weber State, we went and smoked the number 10 team on the road. That's not the number 10 team in the country.
They could have been when we played them. That's the thing about these whole things is like sometimes when you beat a team so bad, they just start giving up. We saw that against Eastern last year, right? We had the ranked win against Eastern. We went into Cheney. And then they kind of fizzled out. You've talked about that all the time. You make a point about that.
Mm-hmm.
Was Weber the same thing? Did we just crush Weber's spirit to the point where they're just like, I don't know, man, it's just not going well this year. And they just start disbelieving.
Yeah, it's possible. But when you look back in the playoffs at your season, a week three win over a number 10 team that went on to lose every single game after that, just doesn't look as good. That's all.
It's a good point.
It was a great win in the moment, and I'll never downgrade the win, but it ends up not being as impressive based on how that team finished their year. So Southeastern Louisiana, clearly not a good win anymore for Eastern Washington. I thought that they would beat Idaho, but I have a few games, just a few games on my spreadsheet here marked as toss-up games, and I put Eastern on this. But yeah, Vispers being out, I think, hurt Eastern in this one. That was a shootout.
Do we know
though.
The extent of his injury? Is he coming back?
I haven't heard anything. Even Kyler Neal, like number one Eastern Washington fan on the entire planet, like found out that Vispers wasn't even playing, or Vispers. I think I'm saying his name wrong, but he wasn't even starting the game. No one even knew about it until like a few hours before kickoff when someone reported he's on the sideline in like street clothes or something. And they're like, what? That was a well kept secret. But it's probably easy to keep secrets when nobody really covers your squad.
So I have the Eagles fourth in my power ranking right now.
I have.
Right behind Sac, Montana State number one, Idaho number two. I'm kind of high on Eastern right now.
I have them at number four as well. And then I have NAU, Grizz, Portland State.
Mm-hmm. So I have flip-flop Portland State Grizz. Davis, number 8.
Weber, man, all the way down in 9th.
Oh, see, I have Idaho State above Weber.
That's fair.
I put Weber number 10.
That's fair. If they play tomorrow, Idaho State might win that game. Weber's in a bad spot. The panic button is being smashed. Smashed. Just like you should smash that subscribe button. There's my best YouTuber impression right there. Yeah, Weber State, man, they're in a spiral.
Yeah, I have Northern Colorado and Cal Poly. So, Eastern, I did not want to factor them into the equation. I was saying early on, I was like, man, I am not ready to think about the Eastern Eagles. We play them second to last game against again before we go to Cat Grizz. So,
well, they're at Idaho State, then they got Weber, then they got at Portland State, then they got Cal Poly, Montana State, NAU. I mean, they're in the playoff hunt.
Yeah, but so if you go into the stats real quick, I was just looking this earlier. Their defense is not great.
No, that's not a shocker. Their run defense is pretty bad, right?
Yeah. And guess who's pretty good at running the ball? Your Bobcats.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying I don't think I'm too concerned about Eastern Washington game for the Bobcats, but I do think that they have a shot at the playoffs. I had them going 6-5 overall this year, and that's still a possibility. I had them coming out of the game, out of the gate weak, though, like just 2-3.
Do you feel like I feel like the FCS is just a weird thing right now? Like anything past number 5?
It feels like there's no good football teams anywhere in this entire subdivision that exist outside the Big Sky or the Missouri Valley Football Conference.
Yeah. Like if you're number 21 on the FCS rankings,
you're gonna get murdered by Sac State.
Exactly, right?
Murdered. Although
Sac State doesn't have the best track record in playoffs. I don't feel like it was like that like 10 years ago.
I thought
there was way more parity amongst the FCS.
Because there were better teams. Anybody worth the salt has moved on and up. James Madison's gone, Sam Houston State's gone, Coastal Carolina's gone. I mean, the list goes on. If you want to go further back, you got App State's gone, Georgia Southern's gone.
Yeah.
I'm missing teams here too, but there's a lot of people have left.
You could usually count on the top 10 being like just absolute dogs. Mm-hmm. What is Kennesaw State? Are they?
They're transitioning, FBS, are they, so they're gone.
They're transitioning? What does that mean?
Well, they're going to FBS. I think they're playing like an FCS schedule right now.
They are.
But they're not ranked. They can't be ranked because they have like more scholarships or something.
Oh my gosh. Kennesaw State. Jeez Louise.
Yeah, they can't even get 6,000 fans in their stadium. And they run the triple option. I don't know if they still do, but like, what the hell? How is that an FBS team? An FBS program?
Yeah. So outside of the top 5, I just kind of feel, even outside of the top 3, you're just like, man.
Well, then you have some other traditionally strong programs that are nowhere to be found, like Wofford. Wofford was always a good program. Like the entire CAA is trash all of a sudden. Like James Madison left, and then the whole thing just James Madison like pulled the drain out as they left, and everyone's just circling the drain now. Like yeah. Elon's not very good. William and Mary, the best team in the CAA, just lost, so they're out of the top 5 now. It's like that conference that used to be like the conference, man.
Yeah,
back in like the 2000s and late 2000s, early 2010s, like Delaware, New Hampshire, mm-hmm. Maine. Like James Madison, obviously gone now. William and Mary. William and Mary has had good teams. Towson. Like those are all teams that have like made it close to the championship game and not that far. But now they're just like that conference is falling off the map. So that doesn't help. Like the other, you could always count on a power 3 conferences in the FCS, and the CAA is not them anymore. I think William and Mary get smoked by the top 5 in the Big Sky.
Really hope we save FCS for the next 10 years. Be really great.
Yeah, we're going to have teams that you can't even like spot, like they're going to say the name and you have no idea what state it's in.
It's weird because like I don't want to be in a conference that or in a division where only like three games matter. Mm-hmm. 3-4 games matter. Like if we're really in a division where it's the Dakota schools, Montana State, Idaho, come on. And like, to be honest, like what the hell are the Grizzlies doing? Like, why are you 16th in the nation, Montana? I'm calling you out. You have like the best, you arguably have the best stadium in the whole world as far as FCS stuff goes. Like, let's be honest, Ryan. Like, their stadium, really nice,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Can we acknowledge that?
I can acknowledge that that's the best stadium in the FCS.
Yes. You have great support, fan support, great facilities.
You got the Champion Center.
Yo.
They have one of the biggest budgets in the Big Sky.
Yeah. So what's the deal? I don't have a problem with you guys being 16th in the nation, whatever you are. Like, we kind of poked the bear a little bit, pun intended. But if we're trying to get the FCS to be a conference, or not a conference, I keep saying that, a division where we need to be competitive and have at least good football, we need more than four teams at the top. And then there's this drastic drop off. It just feels, I don't know.
Well, the good news is Idaho has bolstered those ranks.
Yeah.
So they weren't even in the FCS, 4 years ago? 5 years ago. So they've dropped back down and then proceeded to be terrible. But good. It's good to have Idaho being good is good for everybody.
We'll see. Here's what's going to happen, though. Jason X is going to take a job somewhere else.
Probably.
Right. He's on all these coaching lists already. So here it is. It's going to come. It's going to go. It could happen for Montana State, too. Coach Vegan could go take Nevada's job next year, right? We don't think he's going to be. Like you profess, he's a kind of a loyalist kind of guy, and I tend to agree, but there's those jobs out there.
It's not going to be Nevada.
Well, you never know. It could be something akin to that, right?
Yep.
We're off
a tangent here, but yeah, I think if Vegan does leave, it's going to be for a program that's already in good shape. I don't think he's not a program builder. I think we mentioned that on an episode two ago when we were talking a little bit about this. And yeah, the Grizz with everything they have should be top 10 all the time.
Yeah.
The kind of fun, the weird thing is though, they have, like, if you look at it objectively, they've lost one game to a team that's kind of hot. They just had a weak schedule and they've looked bad winning. Basically their style points are really low. And that matters. Yeah. That does matter. You can't squeak by a Division II team. You can't look mediocre against a non-scholarship team and expect to be ranked in the top 10, even if you're winning. All right, moving on down. What do we got here? Who are we even just talking about? We're talking about Eastern Washington. Portland State. Interesting team. We got to start speeding this up a little bit. Portland State. Tougher than I thought they were going to be. What did I had Portland State finishing 4-7, and they're already, you know, they're 2-3, right? So they're sitting there half the wins I predicted them to get. And if you look at their remaining schedule, they have a big one at Northern Arizona, then they got Northern Colorado, Eastern, UC Davis, the Grizz, and Weber. I mean, I'm not sure the playoffs are in the cards for Portland State. Looking at that little gauntlet there, but they're certainly a winning record, I think, is within reach.
Yeah, they could be a bubble team. They're better than I thought they would be. Sacheret was a better quarterback. I wasn't aware of Dante Sacheret. He was a dude. Like, absolutely, like, really good quarterback. Their game at Northern Arizona, like I said, sneaky good. They're probably going to beat Idaho State. They always play Eastern Washington like dogs.
Do they play Idaho State?
Yeah. So the next game.
Oh, I have it wrong on my little typo thing. That's funny.
Yes, you do. I remember this now.
Okay.
So they play Idaho State. Then they play Eastern Washington. I'm going to say that's a win. I say they go WW right there. And then they play UC Davis. Right now, I have them above UC Davis. So they could go win, 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 and then play Montana right before the Grizz game.
That could be a sneaky game for the Grizz.
Yeah.
That's on the road.
Yeah, exactly. That could be a loss for the Grizz. And if that's a loss for the Grizz coming into the Cat Grizz, like that's, like I said, that's like season over, right? Like Montana's like has to win out right now because they played a Division II team.
No, Portland State though is an easy first five games to pick. I have them exactly at 2-3 with exactly how their record has transpired.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were just easy games to predict. You have Oregon, Wyoming, loss.
Mm-hmm.
A university you've never heard of, North American, win. Cal Poly, who I projected to be like, I have Cal Poly finishing 3-8. It was an easy schedule to pick up to this point. But they look better than I thought that they would. But it could be just they had a decent game against a Cat team at home that we made them look a little better than they actually are. And maybe they just kind of came in ready to play and they're not actually that good. So we'll see.
Like I said, they're running back Craig, Sashre, really good players.
They got some weapons.
Yeah, they do. Good call. All right, next down is Idaho State, 1-1. The conference, again, 1-4 overall.
Oh, man.
Idaho State's better than I thought they would be.
I thought Idaho State was going to be so bad. I had them beating Northern Colorado and losing every other game.
They almost beat Montana. They almost beat the Grizzlies.
They did.
So, they have a good quarterback right now. Cook, I think, is his name. Freshman can really spin it, right? So, that's if they lose him, then it's out the window. But it's all dependent on their quarterback because they run a heavy pass offense. Coach Hawkins, I think, is doing a good job galvanizing that team, making them play above their heads right now.
You know, they got Eastern at Portland State at Sac at, or they got Weber, UC Davis, and at Idaho. I mean, 1-10 still on the table there.
Yeah.
They're 1-4, so they look better than a 1-10 team, but looking at the schedule, I mean, it's possible that they lose. They could lose to Eastern, they could lose at Portland State and at Sac, and all of a sudden they're, 1-7, 1-8, and then all of a sudden.
I'm calling it right now. They're going to beat Weber.
I don't know, man. Weber might figure some stuff out. They might switch, make a quarterback switch or something.
Gosh.
That's too proud of a program, I think, to completely fold, but it kind of looks like what they're doing.
Gosh, it's so weird to see. So weird. All right. Speaking of, it's not Weber yet. UC Davis.
Not Weber yet. How crazy that we're like down to like number 9 in the rankings and we still haven't even hit Weber State yet.
So Davis is 1-2. So they did play last week. So they have 2 conference losses. 3-3 overall. I called them a paper tiger. I just don't believe in Dan Hawkins, man. When it comes down to it, I just think when the going gets tough, Dan Hawkins is a little bit like Rob Ash.
I can agree with that. He ends up with some like top level talent, but there's like nothing. There's no depth. There's no like. There's no power behind the bite. It's like once things kind of go sideways for them or they have a key injury, it's like, like the little puff of dust explodes. It's over.
Mm-hmm.
And Len Larrison there, who is an amazing running back. I watched him play against Eastern Washington. That guy is a legit case for the best running back in the entire Big Sky Conference. He went down and they couldn't do anything. Miles Hastings is a okay quarterback, but he needs a Alonzo Gilliam Lane Larrison type running back to take the pressure off of him. I had them going 8-3 because I thought that their schedule was pretty favorable. But not looking like that's going to happen.
Do you remember they were like number 2 in the coaches poll?
Yeah, I think a lot of, there were some definite preseason UC Davis hype.
Yeah. Montana like played a zone coverage against them in the second half. That took away any of their scoring opportunities. The Grizz shut them down in the second half, in which they kind of shut the Grizzlies down in the second half as well. If you watched that game, UC Davis, I think Vim texted us or something like that. They're like a 6-5 team every year, 7-4 team.
Yeah.
I feel like they're a little bit overhyped all the time.
Yeah, I think that could be true.
Yeah. They're never going to be bad. They're never going to be great. They're just going to be UC Davis.
They're right around the 500 ball club.
Yep. It's always a toss-up when it comes to the Causeway Classic. So, there it is.
Weber State.
Holy
sitting
cow.
Sitting at 10th.
Let's roast these guys. Let's just do it.
They are
burn them down.
Their offense is atrocious. Oh my God. Atrocious.
Do you remember us texting back and forth when they were playing Utah going, dang, Weber State's looking kind of good, man. Like Bangston's looking pretty good.
Yeah.
Weiser's looking all right. We were kind of nervous about those guys because we were playing them the next week. And then we hung a 40 burger on them and they got nothing. And
broke,
then
broke since their then, spirit.
Let's go.
I mean, that's the first time I think Weber State's been humbled in that way in a long time. And certainly at home, like they got borderline humiliated at home. And
can we do it in basketball?
They haven't responded to it. Like, there's a chance for them to bounce back and show, like, okay, we got our asses kicked. Let's come back. And they had Northern Colorado and Northern Arizona as follow-up games. You should be able to get back on track with those. Instead, took a pick six in the last like 2 minutes of the game to beat Northern Colorado at home. And then they go to, or no, they had, oh, I was on the road, excuse me. And then they have NAU at home and NAU just steamrolls them.
They were number 10 in the nation when we played them. Number 10.
They're not even a top 50 team right now. And I don't get it, man. They still have talent.
How's that even possible?
They still got talented guys. The quarterback play is a problem. The offense, I think, is really the biggest problem. Defense, I think, would be better if the offense could do anything at all. But it's pretty hard when your offense is going three and out constantly to hold teams out of the end zone. But they went scoreless against us. They scored 28 against Northern Colorado, 7 of that being a 6-pick. So 21 offensive points. And then 10 more offensive points against NAU. So they scored 31 offensive points in 3 games combined. And then the week before that was Utah, right?
Yeah.
So 38 points in 4 games from your offense. You're going to lose a lot of football games.
Woo.
Unless your defense is doing the same. But again, most good defenses can't hold that well. If you're holding a team under 15, 16 points a game, you're an elite defense. But your offense is scoring 11 points a game. They're barely in the double digits.
Oh my gosh. They play Davis next in Ogden, 6 p.m. Thorny, who do you got in that game, man?
Saturday?
Yeah.
Oh, man. If Lane Larison's back, I got Davis. If Lane Larison's out, I got Weber. That's the whole key to this game for me.
Gosh. You don't really think highly about Davis. I got them number 8 on the power ranking.
It's on the road.
Golly.
Davis isn't playing very well right now either. I mean, they're playing better than Weber, I suppose.
Is it even more surprising to you that NAU could be really decent or Weber State can be terrible?
Weber State being terrible is shocking to me.
Is this the most surprising thing in the Big Sky this year? I think yes.
Yes. Yes, I agree. Yeah, they've scored 114 points, which is not the worst in the conference. Not the worst.
Isn't Weiser, their quarterback, didn't he come back, like transfer and then come back?
Yeah, I think you're right. He put himself in the portal and then decided to come back and
because mental was there,
so to speak.
They need to move on from him. Like, they need something like akin to NAU where they brought in the freshman quarterback and just said, okay, let's just light this thing on fire. Go for it. They're at the bottom of the barrel right now. They need to change.
Yeah, they got to do something. They got to have some electric kid on the roster, like a Chris Murray type guy. He's like, yeah, coach, I'll try it. Sure.
Buy or sell. Did you love Chris Murray?
Why do you harp on this? Love is a strong word, but sure. If I have to choose between love and love, yes, I loved Chris Murray.
Yeah.
It was Chris Murray's fun to watch run. South Dakota State.
Yeah, I agree.
That really gave me hope. Like, if he can pass like that, he's going to set this conference on fire. But he could not consistently pass like that. But, man, he could run. He could run the ball. He, I mean, he's the exact same quarterbacks we have now.
Is he?
No, but he's the same mold. He's like the beta version of something that we've taken into like the release stage.
Buy or sell quarterback Tommy Moloch
all over the place, but not so good throwing.
Buy or sell Chris Murray over Tommy Moloch.
So that's no way.
No way?
No.
Buy or sell Chris Murray over Sean Chambers.
Sell.
Buy or sell Chris Murray over Jordan Reed.
I don't know. Buy? I don't know anything about Jordan Reed.
Buy or sell Chris Murray over
Troy Anderson? Buy.
Okay.
Because then we can use Troy Anderson next to him.
All right.
Chris Murray was a better throwing quarterback than Troy Anderson, and that's not saying hardly anything.
Oh my gosh, I'm blanking on the guy we used to root for all the time. Tall drink of water from Meridian, Idaho.
Rovig?
Tucker Rovig. Buy or sell Chris Murray over Tucker Rovig.
I'd probably sell that one. I like Rovig. Rovig's getting better.
Yeah.
All right. Why are we doing buy or sell on Chris Murray's?
I don't know. Why not?
He hasn't played since 2017.
I could go on.
Can you? There's not many more quarterbacks. The only one you missed was Chavis Johnson.
Chavis Johnson? We could go back further. We could go Corey Carpenter. We could go Travis Lee, Daenerys McGee.
Okay.
Jack Rolovich. Let's go.
Let's not buy or sell Chris Murray on every single starting quarterback that the Bobcats have had since they joined the Subdivision 1AA.
We do not have time.
We're an hour in this podcast. But we haven't even finished our rankings. We haven't even talked about Kyle Pauley. We haven't even answered our Golden Cooley questions, some from last week because we put a pin in them.
All right. So, geez Louise, you're right.
Time. I'm glad we wasted 5 minutes on Chris Murray.
Let's do the last two teams simultaneously. Cal Poly, Northern Colorado.
They are who I thought they were. They're bad.
Yeah. I think Cal Poly's a little bit better than they were last year.
Cal Poly is better than I thought they were going to be because they don't look like the worst team I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah.
But not far from it.
Northern Colorado should be playing in the Frontier Conference.
Yes.
And you still think Montana Tech would beat Northern Colorado.
Northern Colorado should go rehire Ernest Collins.
Yep.
Because at least he could win 3 games every year. Sometimes he could win 6. Sometimes he'd only win 2.
That's a stupid fire.
I don't know. I mean, yeah, we don't need to talk about Ernest Collins either. Deep dive on this podcast. People listening to us like, who's Ernest Collins? People don't even know who Ernest Collins is.
Dan Hawkins.
I mean, I'd buy Dan Hawkins over Ernest Collins, but
okay. <let's...
laughs> All right. There's the biggest guy. I was wrong on quite a few teams here, but you know that's what you do. The season shapes your viewpoints, and all of a sudden your schedule looks tougher or easier based on the other team's performance. I mean, that's just how it goes.
Yeah.
So, are you feeling better about Montana State's second half of the season now than you were in the beginning?
No, I feel about the same. The second half of the season, Montana State's schedule is ruthless, absolutely ruthless. And now we have teams that are on the upsweep, Northern Arizona, Eastern Washington. Man, it's tough. But I've never been more confident in the Bobcats than I have at this moment in my life.
Yeah, and I agree with that. Which is why I'm not super concerned about Cal Poly. I saw somebody mention, it was you. You texted me about you think Cal Poly might hang tougher than we think or something. Like, I don't think
they
Cal
could.
I think Cal Poly's
Let's talk a little bit about Cal Poly. Sam Hayward might start. He might come back. Bo Kelly, he was a 5-star recruit at one point. He could sling it around. And if nothing else, we all know, Bobcat fans, Montana State struggles with short passing games.
Yeah.
Let's just be honest. Guys who can fit the ball in zone coverage or man coverage, get those 5 to 7 yard routes, Montana State struggles. However, Thorny, over time, our defense will wear on them. And over time, I'm sure our offense will score. This is a game, Cal Poly game, right here, where I predict we will have a uber conservative play calling. At Montana, I predict Montana State's going to throw the ball 10 times, 10 or less times this game. And we should just run the ball down their throat. Show nothing. Absolutely nothing. Because we don't have to. If it's anything like last year, I think we had like 50 points before halftime last year.
It was stupid.
Yeah.
So,
you know,
that's
all I can see on Cal Poly.
So you think that our defense will eventually wear them down? I think that, or that over time was your word. Like over time, if you mean within like the first 5 minutes of the game.
No, sure. I don't think that. I think there's a chance that Cal Poly could even be even or up at one point during this game. I really do. Like, let's say, let's legit think about this. Sam Heward comes out. He hasn't been starting for the last 2 weeks. Comes back. Starts slinging around the ball. It's conceivable Cal Poly could be up 7-0. They score first. All right? Maybe they score two times before we score. I just don't think they have the horses. We know they don't. They're not. They can't match Montana State. Montana State should win this game, hands down. If they don't, holy cow.
If they don't,
we're going to have a pod.
Oh, man.
We're going to have a pod.
We're going to have the longest pod that we've ever recorded.
Yeah. I'm just saying that it could go really bad for Cal right away. I don't see us. I think there could be an adjustment period with our defense. I'm just saying it's a possibility.
Sam Heward's going to wish he stayed at UW riding the bench because he's going to get sacked into the ground. He's going to get piled into the ground. He's going to get killed.
I think if you would ask 10 Bobcat fans, they're probably going to, 9 out of 10 is going to say that. I'm just saying, we're very rational Bobcat fans on this board.
Not me, not right now.
I think we are. You and I are very like
we are
middle of the road Bobcat fans as far as like, you don't try to get too high. Don't try to get down too low.
We call ourselves like vanilla ice cream all the time.
Yeah. I mean, I professed at one point during this podcast that Montana or University of Montana's field is the best in the world. I kind of take that back. It's not the best in the world, but in the FCS, yes.
You did put a qualifier after you said that. You said it.
Okay.
You said it in the FCS, but yeah. Right. I don't know, man. Sam Heward, the Bobcats have the second most sacks in the entire FCS.
We do?
Yeah. Number two, baby.
Man, keep them coming. Give me some stats.
Oh, man, I posted them on the Bobcat board earlier. We are pretty high in some categories that you wouldn't necessarily expect, and I got to go find where I put that if you want me to go back to it. Yeah, I don't know where that was.
All right.
But
I think I read it in between classes today.
It might have been the FCS stats poll. Where did I post those steady stats? Man, we're so good at podcasting. Say something else about Cal Poly while I do this or something. Do something. Don't just sit here and watch me click.
I like the fact that there's a... You could tell it's the off week when the second most posted thread is Jeff Choate.
Yeah, right. I forgot about that. There's a thread. Jeff Choate. Good old Jeff Choate.
Speaking of which, do you think Jeff Choate stays at Texas after this year?
I don't know, maybe.
Yeah.
I think probably one more year.
Do you think his family's still living in Bozeman? Like George Choate back in Bozeman?
I don't know. Good question. Okay. Nice. Good job stalling. Okay. MSU, total offense, number 2. Rushing offense, number 1. Passing efficiency offense, number 15. Scoring offense, number 3. Yards per play, number 1. Yards per carry, number 2. Total defense, number 9. Passing efficiency defense, number 3. Scoring defense, number 8. Turnover margin, number 6. Third down conversion, number 5. Fourth down conversion, tied for number 2. Number 10 in kickoff returns. Interceptions thrown, 5th fewest. Fumbles lost, 7th fewest. Yards per completion, 5th, which is crazy. Sacks allowed 5. Team sacks 5. Sorry, we're 5th, not 2nd. For some reason, I thought we were 2nd off the top of my head. But we're 5th in the country in sacks, and we're also 4th in tackles for loss, which is pretty, you know, the way we play football doesn't allow for a lot of negative plays for the offense. So it's not surprising. Sacks allowed and tackles for loss allowed.
This is national stats?
Yes, this is national.
Oh, there you go. All right.
When you saw this, you thought this is all
Big Sky?
Big Sky? No, this we are top 15 in all of those categories. Top 10 in all of them, except for the one that we're number 15 in, which is passing efficiency. So we're efficient when we're throwing the ball.
Makes sense.
So
our down FCS.
We are statistically one of the best teams I think I've seen in Montana State, because the defense is right there. Scoring defense, number 8. Total defense, number 9. And that includes playing like South Dakota State, which is like the number 1 or 2 or 3 offense themselves.
Sure.
So, I don't know, man. I don't think Cal Poly is going to... They might move the ball a little bit, but they're not going to score. They'll move the ball between the 20s.
Okay. I can get that. I'm just saying there might be an early moment where fans on Bobcat Nation overreact.
Oh, yeah.
To a couple first downs.
The game day thread will be a mess if Cal Poly even drives down and kicks a field goal off their first drive. It will be a mess.
Burn it down kind of moment. Okay. All right. Golden Cooley questions.
Yeah, let's move on.
Blue and Gold Blitz started us off. Thank you for starting the thread this week. Bi-week questions, he says. Holdover from last week, you guys decided to table. How do you rank the Bobcats remaining conference games by level of difficulty? How do you think each team's strengths and weaknesses compare to what the Bobcats do well and don't do well?
Well, let's go ahead and rank them by difficulty. I'm not sure we want to go that in depth on the remaining games right now because we're already pushing this pod late. Although, like, I don't know, it's 10-11 right now. I'm gaming to go longer. Montana State, I'd say Idaho's the first hardest game. Sac State's the second hardest game. The Grizz are the third hardest game. Eastern's the fourth hardest game. NAU's the fifth hardest game. Cal Poly is the easiest game.
I would agree with everything, except I would flip-flop Northern Arizona and Eastern just at this moment. But I don't know that Northern Arizona has the staying power. So I could totally see what you're saying.
Yep. Yeah, it was close between NAU and Eastern, which is kind of crazy to say. But yeah. I think that's relatively easy. So the other part of the question is strengths and weaknesses.
I think to kind of talk about that a little bit, the only thing I think the upper hand would go to in any of these would be Idaho's offense.
Is that literally all you're going to say? I don't know what you're even talking about.
Yeah, I just think Idaho's offense overall is better than Montana State's offense.
Disagree.
Or maybe...
Disagree? Yeah, statistically, we're better. Just because they throw a prettier football doesn't mean they're a better offense.
Yeah, that's a good point. Good point.
They're definitely more of a catchy, like eye-catchy style point offense.
Mm-hmm.
But we are better in like literally every statistical category except for throwing the ball. But even if you combine total offense, total points per game, total yards per play, even the yards per play, we're higher. Even though we don't throw the football, our yards per play are still higher.
Here's a thought. We better start Sean Chambers against Idaho. That style of offense plays way better than Tommy Malott's in that game.
You don't want that to turn into a track meet. So Chambers offense could be a good, because I don't know. That's a tough one. I don't know. I just fell in love with that Chambers pro style looking thing that we did against Weber State. And of course we'll probably never see it again because it went away against Portland State.
Here's the deal. If we beat Cal Poly, we should beat Cal Poly. That Sac State game, ESPN2, Sac State game, that's a big game. We got to win that game.
I really have no idea how we match up against Sac State.
have to win that game.
It's a must, yeah. I mean, it depends. If that's the only game we lose, we're fine. Not where we want to be. We want to be a top two seed, and we're fighting for that right now. But one more loss, if it's only one, we're still top four.
Yeah.
And then the biggest advantage I see on the rest of the schedule, besides the obvious Cal Poly just being a terrible football team, a consistent theme for going on 6 years now, the Grizz can't stop our running game. As long as we got a quarterback who can run it and is willing to run it, Matt McKay, the Grizz, I don't think can stop our running game.
Hopefully. They seem to be making more defensive adjustments than they did last year. They do have a new defensive coordinator, so I don't know. I just don't think they have the depth to keep up with us. So we'll talk about the Grizz when we get to the Grizz. Blue and Gold does have a little bit more. He says, I know you guys don't have any special insider knowledge. That's so true.
It's worth reiterating. If anyone listened to this podcast for the first time, we don't have like hardly any sources.
Do you want to be our source?
Yeah.
We would take you.
rrcatcast@gmail.com. Drop some leads.
Yeah, we will share our
phone
numbers with you.
We
become a texting buddy with us.
And we are very good at keeping secrets.
Yeah, that's true.
I promise.
That is really true.
We do know a few things here and there. We do know.
We don't. They just keep it.
But most of the time, we don't know anything else. Like injuries? Your guess is as good as mine. We had several questions about Taco Dowler.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. So Bloom Gold Blitz says, when do you think Taco will be back? When Tommy will be back? When will Scottry be back?
I don't know.
Dan, should we do Scottry as a redshirt?
Yes.
We talked about that last week. Both of us seem to agree on that. Scottry should be a redshirt. Taco will be back. Ooh, I'm going to put it at Eastern Washington.
Tommy will be back at Eastern?
No, Taco.
Taco. Okay. Yeah, I can see that. We don't really need to rush him back. Packers. We don't need to rush Taco back.
Or Tommy.
That's Tommy. That's
the thing. Yeah.
He wouldn't
I'm so like not high on Tommy lately. I was thinking about that today.
You're getting a little lower on him than I think probably you should be. At least how I feel about it.
Bring me back.
I am pro Chambers, but I'm not anti Tommy. There's a fine line between like, yeah, we don't even need Tommy. Like, no, I don't want to go that far.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. Tommy is back this weekend possibly. So there's the answer on Tommy. Probably asked that before the press conference. Last time we saw him
was mid South Dakota State game, and so you just like it just seems so long ago.
Is it smarter to build the offense around Chambers solely because Tommy is just likely to get hurt again?
Is that a question from
that's me
fans?
My Golden Cooley question, I guess.
That's such a good Golden Cooley question.
And it's because it's something I just thought of, like just right now, like Tommy's gonna get hurt again. Like I hate saying it, like hurt guys get hurt, like you said. Mm-hmm. He's proven himself to be not that durable yet. Mm-hmm. And I mean Chambers has been in and out too, but it seems like Chambers overall has been more healthy during his time at Montana State than Tommy has. Neither of them are healthy. That's why you need them both. Yeah. Do you start being Chambers the 1A situation solely because he's more durable so far? I don't know. We don't even need to answer it. Just throwing it out there.
No need to answer it. I would agree with you. I think we're more multiple with Chambers. We talk about this all the time. I think Chambers should be QB1 going forward from here on out. You listen to all the national media. Listen to Sam Herder. Who does he think? Sean Chambers. Listen to Colter Nuanez. Who does he think? Sean Chambers. They don't come out and say it right off the bat. The R&R is going to tell you Sean Chambers should be the starting quarterback. At least Ryan Foley's going to see that. And I love Tommy Mellott. I have a Tommy Mellott t-shirt. I wear it all the time. I think we're better with Sean Chambers. The elephant in the room, Ryan Foley's picking Sean Chambers.
Digging in, I like it. Somebody on Bobcat Nation's day said, it's like at this point, it's without any question that Tommy is the more dynamic offense with Tommy. I'm like, is that without question? Because I have questions about that. I think we're almost more dynamic with Chambers.
Yeah, who said that? That would be opposite in my brain.
Yeah, somebody said that in the, I don't know, why play Tommy? I think it's, I imagine where that came from.
I love Tommy a lot.
People
are like casting me as like fully hates Tommy. Yeah. I don't. I like the way our offense looks better with Chambers.
I'm definitely not a complain about society guy, but that's one thing that happens right now. If you don't like, if you're not a fan of someone, like they say you hate him. It's like, that's not true. Like I can like two things at once and like one more than the other. That doesn't mean I hate one and like one. It's like, they don't have to be opposites. Yeah. CatGrad05 said, I don't think there's any question we will be running a oh, dang it. That's not who I thought.
Thorny likes both Chili's people. Let's go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We have a question about Chili, right?
Do we?
I hope so. Yeah. Keep going down your Golden
Cooley
questions. Do we answer that one? What was even the question? Good Lord.
yes. Blue and Gold Blitz. We did answer.
Was that the injury
question?
We only
have one more from Colorado Cat. Colorado Cat says, what is one thing you hope the coaches change in the second half of the season? What's one thing you hope they don't change?
Well, I think that we agree on the one thing we hope that they do change is keep on rolling Chambers out there when Tommy is available. Have him be the primary ball handler. It can be 60-40, but I would like to see Chambers probably be the guy getting more. So that would be the one thing I would change. Defensively, I don't know what I would change, man. Defense is looking solid. I'm like, there's guys that are maybe not playing as well as you would maybe like them to, but what would you change? I guess we could have better second half adjustments. I thought we did a really good job against Portland State in that department, so they maybe took a step forward in that area. I don't know what I'd change. I'm loving how we're blitzing. I'm loving what we're doing. Keep working on tackling? Question mark?
Yeah, tackling could always be improved. I think our linebacker play can be improved.
Oh, man, I think our linebacker play has been great. I mean, half the time, one guy's ejected, so it'll be nice to have all three playing at the same time. Because I think Danny Yu, Askelson, and Makeda Riley are a hell of a trio.
Yeah, they are.
Now, are they a hell of a trio against a team like South Dakota State when, you know, Isaiah Davis gets rolling and the Yankee twins are both there? I mean, everyone has a hard time with Isaiah Davis, so maybe like a more powerful, big, strong running back and big, strong team might wash them out a little bit because they're not the biggest guys. But I'm loving everything about how they're playing.
Okay. Except, do you have any more Golden Cooley questions?
Roger Fisher on Twitter asks us, probably too late for this episode. Well, lucky for you, we didn't record on Monday night like we were planning on, so this is actually Tuesday night. Why hasn't Marquis Johnson been staying at wide receiver before this week? The two question marks for me. Elijah Elliott, we've documented on why isn't Elliott getting more carries. And I've kind of resigned to the fact that, okay, maybe the guys ahead of him are just really, really good running backs. But Marquis Johnson, with the injuries we've had at wide receiver and the not real big production we've had at wide receiver, why? Why is he not playing? I don't know. Roger.
It's a really good question. And then, like, Coach Vegan in the presser this week, he said, Marquis number one, but that kind of speaks to Trimble being hurt. I was like, is Jacob Trimble better than Marquis Johnson at wide receiver?
Well, he's bigger and he's probably a better blocker. What is probably the most valued thing about being a Bobcat wide receiver is how well can you block? Marquis Johnson's a little dude.
Is he? Is Jacob Trimble bigger than Marquis Johnson?
Yeah, he's listed at like 5'11 or 6'1. He didn't look very big out there.
6'1's a big difference, Thorny.
Well, either way, Marquis Johnson's like 5'9. So.
Oh. What's CT then? CT's 6?
I think he's 5'11. All right. Pulling it up as we speak. How tall are wide receivers? But even, yeah, like, I don't know. Marquis Johnson's such a dangerous weapon. Now, you just got to get him away to be involved. But he can't be an every down wide receiver if he can't really block all the time. And he's running back. He's not durable enough to be an all-time running back. So he is kind of that tweener guy right now.
I don't know. He seems like a classic bubble screen kind of guy. It seems like Taylor Housewright doesn't, you know, do.
No, it's not really our offense, because if he's going to be out there all the time, he's going to be blocking. Like I said, he's 5'8", 165. So in the opposite spectrum, Cleveland Thomas, who's not a real big guy, is 5'11", 194. He's 3 inches taller and 30 pounds heavier than Marquise Johnson.
Gosh, you could have fooled me. Wow.
Wow.
You know,
geez, who am I talking about here? Who were we just talking about? The wide receiver. Cleveland. My goodness, he's jacked. He's got plenty of muscle. Trimble is 6 foot, 184.
Wow.
So Trimble's taller than Cleveland, and he's got 10 less pounds. So he's still 20 pounds and 4 inches taller than Marquise Johnson. He just doesn't look big. Like, Jacob Trimble doesn't look big on the field.
No, he doesn't.
But, I mean, 6 foot's listed. Who knows what it actually is, right? But the point is, everyone's bigger than Marquise Johnson. And we just don't run the kind of offense where you need a fast little scat back guy.
Yeah.
But you got to get him some touches. You need playmakers. I don't care what kind of offense you run. You need a playmaker. You need guys who can get the football and be a threat to score a touchdown every single time the ball's in their hands. And he, more than anybody, is probably that.
It's funny. Coach Vegan was talking about how they tried to mimic their offense a little bit about like the 49ers. And if you watch Monday Night Football, 49ers offense is fire. 49ers, Bills, Dolphins. It's good stuff, man. It's real good stuff. I like it. I like it a lot.
Yeah. So I don't know. Roger, good question. We don't know. We have the same question.
Roger, whose chili are you eating? Back at us.
Well, here's the question. This is from Danny, the very first question we had on Twitter. Who do you think makes a better chili, Tommy or Sean? Think about that for a second. If the stadium were to expand its seating, where would you like to see it expand? I would like to see the whole thing bowled in. I love bowls.
Yeah.
Although it looks a lot better with the BAC there now. So it's not just a big naked thing that you just see right into the parking lot anymore. So that kind of helps the aesthetics on that side. I'd almost like the student side, the old student side, whatever you want to call it now, not the end zone, the other side, to be taller or bigger.
Okay, yeah. I think so there's a couple things cool. Just mirror what's on the west side.
Danny did say specify expand the seating, not necessarily redo the current situation.
Well, not mirror it, because you want, like it was in the... I mean, they have iterations of it. They've talked about this, but boxes on top, seating, and then bowl the end zone. So I think you need to bowl the sections where you see on TV the cameras, they pan to it. It's like crowd, 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 and then it's like chain link fence.
Yeah.
When they get to the end zone, you're like, oh, it just looks so janky right there. They need to have that bowled in right there, connecting to the BAC. And then I think you're good.
Yep.
So have both sides bowled in so there's no gaps right there. That would reverberate the sound waves.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I really liked about the Grizzly Stadium is like how steep their seating is, because then this creates like a wall of fans, and then the sound just bounces off that. Mm-hmm. I think that they've done a really good job of that. Montana State could benefit to copy a little bit of that. I mean, Montana State has a really great van experience. 22,000 fans coming. We're doing good at selling it out. Our stadium, on the other hand, is looking like it could use a little bit of updating. I'm just going to be honest, Ryan.
Yeah, the east side has been kind of an eyesore for some time.
Mm-hmm.
So redo that. Add the boxes up top. Add a little bit more seating. First and foremost, probably. Expand it like another 1,000 seats or something small.
See, I would argue on keeping it the same or dropping it down. I wouldn't be upset if Montana State said, okay, we're going to make it a little bit nicer, but instead we're going to cap it at 20,000. Because what happens when Montana State is not the premier team, right?
Yeah.
You've always said this in the past. You said, a stadium with fewer seats is always better than a stadium with more.
Well, that was mainly for basketball, but yes, it also is true for football.
Mm-hmm. I'd agree.
But give me those small gyms that are packed versus mm-hmm. a big cavernous arena like the Brick that's like mm-hmm. 25% full and the sound just mm-hmm. dies. Mm-hmm. Like Gonzaga. Gonzaga is a perfect example.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a balance in there.
Yeah.
There's a balance.
Who has a bigger impact on the game this week? Danny, you or Askelson are two, quote, dangerous headhunters, quote.
Danny. Yeah. No, I'm going to go Askelson because I talked to him. That guy's awesome.
I'll say Danny, you, just to be contrarian. It's a good question. I don't really know. They're both good in space. They're both got speed. They can both cover, which is probably what you're going to have to do. I imagine somebody will be trying to sack. Who goes more blitzes, or do either of them even blitz? I'm not sure. I've seen either of them on a blitz too much. Askelson, maybe I've seen blitz once or twice.
Yeah, we bring him sometimes.
I'm not sure I've seen Danny blitz before.
Yeah.
So I'll say Askelson because he might get a sack.
Okay.
So who makes a better chili, Tommy or Sean? The big question.
You know, Sean's got those California peppers. So I was thinking, if you like spicy, you're going to go with Sean. I feel like Tommy's going to make some sort of like venison type chili. Being from Butte.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go with Sean on this.
Yeah, I don't...
Just because California roots.
I'm not sure Montana, I'm not sure Butte, exactly known for chili. I mean, people love chili, don't get me wrong, around here, but... I don't know. I'd probably go with Chambers.
Yeah.
He spent some time in Wyoming, which is, as you know, has Chugwater chili, the infamous world-famous Chugwater chili, which you probably don't know. We did ask Bill Lambry about it, remember, when we interviewed him, because mm-hmm. I saw signs for Chugwater chili. So he's been to two places known for chili. So I'll go Sean Chambers as well, too. Plus, he's older, so he's, you know... Cooking takes experience. He said he's cooked more chili than our young friend Tommy Mawad. So once again, I'm sorry, Bobcat Nation. I'm picking Sean Chambers over Tommy Mawad.
All right.
Tommy Mawad would be very meticulous and like measuring out all of his ingredients. Chambers would just cook with love. He would measure with his heart.
What? And did you say something like that? You just give me.
Right.
Measures with his heart.
Measures. Yeah. Yep. Yep. It's the best cooking, especially for something like chili. Tell me be too scientific with it.
All right. Is there any others?
The one I emailed you. Do you have that up?
Oh, I can. It splits. Just give me a split.
Let's see who gets there fastest. I'm going to open up my email too. Got an email. We got to not ignore the few emails that we get.
Oh, clicked on the wrong one. My wife's going to San Diego if that's not the one. All right. Here it is. Got it. From Brent Cartwright. With some big road games coming up this month, what do the Cats have to do to fine-tune the offense, defense, and special teams in order to keep the Big Sky title hopes alive? He says, I believe these missed field goals and extra points could potentially cost us a game or put them in trouble in the later part of the game. I'm with you, Brent. I am super concerned with place kicking duties. He's got it, man. We haven't had to trust. We haven't had a game come down to point or point afters or anything like field goals. I'm with him, man. What do you think about that,
Bernie? I think if you're asking like what's the area that has been the weakest, it is special teams. So if you're looking to fine tune something, that's it. You got to make all your extra points. I can handle missing a 40, 50-yard field goal here and there. You can't be missing extra points.
Absolutely.
So that's going to cost us eventually. So that's the one that's the furthest from where it needs to be. How much you value special teams, you know, person-based, you know, people have different opinions on that. But that is definitely the weakest link of the three that are listed there, offense, defense, and special teams. So we gotta get those kicking woes remedied. Good, it is a good question. All right, that's all the questions I have that I can remember. I think we skipped some last week. We said we're going to talk about it next week.
Let's see if I can scroll up.
Do we dare? Do we dare?
Snipe a couple. Mm-hmm. 91, Cat Long gives us the Tommy Chambers debate.
We might have hit a lot of it naturally at this point.
Like on our Golden Cooley questions, people just answered the Golden Cooley question.
Well, yeah. Because they're good questions, and then people come like, let us, and they just feel like answering.
For sure. Yeah.
Catbot has a why aren't the Bobcats doing something like this? And he has a picture of like the what is that hamster? The dramatic hamster, like on the giant video board behind a team kicking a field goal. I've seen some teams putting just big silly things on video boards when their teams are kicking a field goal, which is kind of funny, but it's also kind of lame. Like it's kind of interference. I don't like that kind of stuff necessarily. It's hilarious. Don't get me wrong. Like the big hypno toad for TCU. Hilarious, but
can you do that? Is that not illegal?
Somebody did it. It's been done this year. It seems to be like a thing this year. So you know that it will be banned real quick. If it's a thing okay. that more teams are doing this year, the NCAA is going to come out and say, "Yep."
Okay. Yeah, I just scrolled through page 23 and 24. I'm not seeing anything that we haven't talked about.
Alrighty. All right. Who are we picking then?
I'm going to say Brandt. I think the fine-tuning is a good question, and so I'm going to send you a Golden Cooley. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! Mr. Cartwright probably grew up loving that name. Is that Gunsmoke? No, that's not Gunsmoke. That's Cartwrights are the... It could be Gunsmoke.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
No
you're,
idea.
You're going to flounder on that one old, on your own.
Old TV show.
All right. Anything else on this long-winded podcast that focused very little on Cal Poly?
Well,
I'm not sure we named a single player besides up. Sam Heward.
Tough schedule coming up. I'm looking forward to Cal Poly, but also looking forward to Sac State. I'm letting my eye go a little bit forward to Sac State. That is a night game, an ESPN game that we had scheduled early on. Gosh, man, I don't know, man. I don't know about you, Thorny. Have you started like projecting your thoughts towards the playoffs?
Not yet.
Not yet? Okay.
I mean, I keep just visualizing us getting that 2 seed, which okay. means we have to win every single game.
I'm going to be at Idaho, so I'm going to be pumping this through the podcast. If any of you are there, I'd love to meet up with you. I will be with my family. We are going to the MSU alumni tailgate. We signed up for that. And there's a lot of seats left for that game, apparently. Because when I bought them, it was wide open.
Yeah, I think that'll fill up here soon. Unless they lose to the Grizz, then it might, fan interest might wane back down a little bit. They're building slowly, I think. It takes time. Like, the Bobcats were really good. 2010, 2011, 2012, when Janarius McGee was there, but we still took some time to kind of start selling those games out.
That's a good point.
And that's right when we expanded, too. Like, that was all timed together perfectly. Like, we expanded mm-hmm. the end zone construction was done, I think, in 2010, possibly. The same year we went, like, 9-1 in Big Sky, or, yeah, 10-1 or whatever, 9-2, won the Big Sky Conference.
Gosh, I would love to talk to Denarius Biggie. We interviewed Travis Lule, our first interview. You and I were both sweating bullets. We were so nervous about it.
Went right for like one of the biggest fish we could, like the biggest Bobcat legend of our lifetime. Let's interview him first. Let's not warm up. Let's not work our way up to that. Let's go straight.
I'd love to talk to Denarius. Yeah.
He's a busy man these days.
Is he still in the NFL coaching?
Yeah, he's with the Texans.
Yeah. Yeah, he probably is a busy man.
Okay. Woo. All right. Well, thanks again to our sponsors. We have Wilbur Ellis for the Golden Cooley segment and Gear Up Sports for our annual main sponsor. We appreciate them this year.
Get your gear up. I want to see somebody wearing an R&R something, just like walking down the street, seeing our logo out there. That's going to be like the day.
If you see that happen in Spokane, I'd be pretty impressed.
That would be really cool. That'd be super cool.
You can always find us on Twitter, rrcatcast, Instagram, rrcatcast, website, rrcatcast.com, email, rrcatcast@gmail.com. Ooh, that was an episode, Foley. Let's get out of here. Let's go, Cats.
Go, Cats.
Go, Cats.